a celebration of lived artistic practices. Andrew, what are some, could you describe a couple of lived artistic practices that people will see through the festival, through any parts of the festival?
Sure. I think one of the signature things of the West Coast dances is the masks that people dance. And so definitely our festival showcases a lot of amazing artists. A lot of the dance group leaders are carvers themselves. And so you'll see many, many masks on being performed throughout the festival, and as well as all kinds of other regalia as well. A lot of these visual artists carve masks, but there's also a lot of, as Rebecca had said, a lot of beautiful regalia. So what people wear have a lot of designs on them. This is a type of design on the Northwest Coast that's been dubbed form line design. And so all of the regalia that everyone wears has these crests that belong to their families, and those are sewn onto the regalia. So you'll see beautiful, colorful regalia and a lot of masks, many of which have moving parts. And so you'll see masks where the eyes or the tongues or the different parts of the masks move. And sometimes there's puppets, and it's quite a visual art practice. So you'll see a lot of amazing artistry on stage. It's not just song. It's not just dance. It's also artist, visual arts and story all combined into a performance.
Can you walk us through, I know on the website there are a lot of different things that are there, but can you day by day walk us through some of the things that are highlights of that particular day?
Well, the festival has a few different focuses. During the daytime, we really focus on our youth. So the matinee performances and the afternoon performances on the weekend all will really focus on family audiences and are accessible. They're not ticketed. Our evening performances are ticketed, and they're going to take place Tuesday of March 4th and Wednesday, March 5th. Our evening performances are going to take place in the Great Hall of the Museum of Anthropology. And we will transform the space so that it's not a theater setting, but that it's, contains elements of a theater setting, and that there's staging and lighting in the space. And then on the Saturday, we will also have another evening ticketed event, and that performance will be in the theater at the Amble Center in New Westminster. One thing that is new to the festival this year is that we are going to be taking place, the festival will be taking place at two venues. So the first 3 days will be at the Museum of Anthropology at UBC, and Friday through Sunday will be at the Anvil Center in New Westminster. When we're at UBC, we're going to have our artist sharing series. So every afternoon at 3 p.m. on March 4th, 5th, and 6th, we'll have a conversation with some of our artists. And this will be an opportunity to learn a little bit more about their practices coming from the voice of our artists. Also how our practices are connected to land, how they're something that requires training and ancestral knowledge to develop and to strengthen these practices for today and moving forward. And then as well, as part of our artist sharing series, we're going to be doing the installation, which will take place daily throughout the whole festival. It'll be at the Museum of Anthropology in the afternoons, starting at 1 p.m. most days. And that is going to be a little bit different in that it's not, it's something where people can go into the space, which is called the Haida House, which is just the museum's grounds. And the space inside will be transformed through projection and imagery, as well as live performance. And it'll be reflecting the indigenous culture of the Maori artist Charles Corinijo. And through that, we're really trying to look at how we can not only bring our lived traditions into spaces like the museum, but what are some of the ways that we can begin to innovate in how we are deepening those relationships and expressing ourselves as Indigenous artists in these spaces.
Now, you said the daytime ones are non-ticketed.
But that's correct. So when we're at the Museum of Anthropology, it's just, you just need admission to the museum. There's no ticketing from the festival. And then when we're at the Anvil Center on Saturday and Sunday, March 8th and 9th, starting at 1 p.m. each day, the performances are free to the public. There's an opportunity to donate to the festival, but it's really intended to be a time that's accessible for all people to come and witness.
Well, it's so comprehensive. I don't know any other festival that I've heard of where you have full days or afternoons that are free or just open on the basis of a donation. It seems like a really great way, intentional way, to increase people's diversity or their knowledge of Indigenous and other cultures, to really just have a sharing session without having to worry about the cost.
And we see a lot of young families coming. You know, oftentimes when you have kids, it's expensive and, you know, it's hard to bring the whole family out to certain events. And so we really enjoy the little ones that come to watch. And the little ones really enjoy the performances, particularly all the masks. And it's a great all ages type of event where people from all ages and walks of life and cultures can come and witness and share in what we have to offer. So it's a wonderful opportunity, I think, for the community. And what we enjoy is that this year, for the first time, we're able to go to two venues. And so we're able to reach two very different communities, both in Vancouver and in New Westminster.
Yes, I think that is remarkable. And also the welcoming to families, because a lot of times art galleries and so forth, I hear the word no or stop or don't touch or be still. And here it seems like it's going to be encouraging kids to feel comfortable in the space and not hearing that backdrop of don't or be careful or stop. Have you in the past received accolades for the way that you involve and welcome young children to the art galleries or the performance center?
It's always been a really important part of our mandate to focus on youth and to encourage youth to be able to you know, to see the and experiences the songs and dances. And for me, the reason for that is that I think the impact that we can have on our young people is really important when it comes to understanding Indigenous culture, and having positive experiences with Indigenous song and dance, I think really it really leaves an impact that I think will lead to changes in our society. All of the young people that come and they have an opportunity to enjoy, to not just experience it, but to be able to react, and you hear their laughter, or you hear their, you hear them when they're working out, like what they are understanding from what they're seeing, and that carries with them. And so what I hope from having that sort of impact on our youth is that as they grow up, there isn't that hesitation with Indigenous culture. I think that sometimes one of the things that can really carry a block between Indigenous communities and, all of the communities that we have in this country is that, there is a hesitation that comes from not having an understanding of Indigenous practices, of our languages, of our culture, of our arts. And the more that we can allow for spaces where it's comfortable, I think that, we can move forward to begin to ask questions and to begin to build understanding and comfort and a more positive place for all of our children to grow up into. And it allows for our Indigenous children to feel pride in what they're sharing and who they are as Indigenous artists.
Yeah, I think the contact throughout the year within your group of working toward what's going to be presented the next year is one way of having kids that are in school, little kids see, oh, this is normal, this is acceptable, this is something that we can present that people want to learn from us. I think that it is very, when you hear land acknowledgments or you hear different things, there's such a tiny tip of the iceberg about Indigenous culture, whereas you have got such a kaleidoscope, such a beautiful varied pattern of things that over 1 week almost you are able to share, and that it's not just locally, that people will be taking it back to other places. Do you have, what are some of the other cities and communities that people are coming here from?
We have artists this year that will be coming from up in the Yukon, as well as some of our artists, like their home communities are in Alaska, Northern BC, Haida Gwaii, Vancouver Island, the northern part of Vancouver Island, as well as the, the local territories surrounding the Vancouver area. We also have artists this year, as I mentioned, that are international artists coming from Sydney, Australia, and Auckland, New Zealand. And as well, our family, the Dancers of Dam Muhammad, we will be sharing as well throughout the festival week, and our home originally coming from northern BC along the Skeena River area.
Yo ho hi, yo ho hi, yeah, hey ya, hey ya. Yo ho hi, yo ho hi, yeah, hey ya, hey. Yo ho hi, yo ho hi, yeah, hey ya, hey ya. Yo ho hi, yo ho hi, yeah, hey ya, hey. Lu sang sint good sim hi, yeah, hey ya, hey ya. Dim e am tim will a da dil sim. Yo ho hi, yo ho hi, yeah, hey ya, hey ya. Yo ho hi, yo ho hi, yeah, hey ya, hey. Yo ho hi, yo ho hi, yeah, hey ya, hey ya. Yo ho hi, yo ho hi, yeah, hey ya, hey. Lu sexin sim ha ye he ya he ya. Dim e am dim will I da dis a sim. Yo ho ha yo ho ha ye he ya he ya. Yo ho ha yo ho ha ye he ya he. Lu sex and goose sim ha ye he ya he ya. Dim e am dim will I da dis a sim. Yo ho ha yo ho ha ye he ya he ya. Yo ho ha yo ho ha ye he ya he. Lu sex and goosim ha ye he ya he ya. Dim e am sim will a da dis a sim. Yo ho ha yo ho ha ye he ya he ya. Yo ho ha yo ho ha ye he ya he. Lu sex and goosim ha ye he ya he ya. Him e am him will a da dis a sim. Yo ho ha yo ho ha ye he ya he ya. Yo ho ha yo ho ha ye he ya he. Yo ho ha yo ho ha ye he ya he ya. Yo ho ha yo ho ha ye he ya he. Yo ho ha yo ho ha ye he ya he ya. Yo ho ha yo ho ha ye he ya he. Yo ho ha yo ho ha ye he ya he ya. Yo ho ha yo ho ha ye he ya he. Lu sex in tu sim ha ye he ya he ya. Tim e am tim will a da dis a sim. Yo ho yo ho ha ye he ya he ya. Yo ho ha yo ho.
Hey, he, yo, hey, he, yo, hey.
Do you see mentorship to be, and do you see this festival as a way that you are mentoring people from other parts of the country to do something similar?
Mentorship is an extremely important part of our practice. We are fortunate that we had elders in our lives who really instilled the foundational knowledge for these practices. There's something that we had the opportunity to grow up with, not only in terms of our songs and dances, but even just how to host a gathering such as this. I grew up as a young girl, a dancer in the festival that my parents hosted for nearly 20 years. And it was a place where, for me, I came to not only love the songs and the dances of my own community, but to really love the songs and the dances of the surrounding communities and to grow a connection for them. And I wanted to see that carried forward to today for the younger generations that are growing up and learning about their songs and their dances and their stories. And while we have many distinct cultures, we also have shared histories as well that aren't only from our recent past, but even historically, we have shared stories and connections from throughout the coast. And it's important that these are carried forward. So I think that's something that we have had a really strong response from, not only from our artists that are from this region, but artists that we've had that have come from Hawaii or anywhere around the Pacific Rim or, from other places, including Northern Europe in Norway and Sweden. Like, there aren't other festivals that are really hosted in the same way as the Coastal Dance Festival, where it's a festival that's run by artists and by families who have carried these songs and dances and stories for generations. And so it's a different way to host. It's a different way to gather. And I think that that's what's at the heart of the festival and really why the mentorship is such an important part of it. Our children are now growing into roles of leadership, and we're starting to see the very young children beginning to engage and be part of the practice. So that's really why we do the work, is to see how what we have learned from our parents and grandparents being carried forward to the next generations.
Do you feel, as a creative director, are there particular things that youth might ask you about, or young men ask you about, that they might not ask a woman about? Or do you have any particular insight on the willingness for younger people? Well, so much negative has been put out about programs for Indigenous people and stereotyping, but it takes a kind of boldness for people to persist in asking an elder or asking a parent or asking a friend to get involved in something like this program. How do you, as a creative director, deal with things like that?
I think what we're trying to do is, like Margaret said, through mentorship, I think we're trying to set examples for people. So, one of the things about the festival, which is quite unique, is with regards to mentorship, is that not the performers are also youth. Like, it's an intergenerational dance practice. So not only will kids come to watch this performance, but there are children of all ages, from little babies right on up to elders, that are in the performances. And I think it's through that, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be an explicit way of teaching. I think people learn and pick up through just a daily practice. And I think that as a dance family, that's what groups refer to themselves as, is dance families.
Mm-hmm.
It provides the framework to transfer knowledge from one generation to the next. And so I think it's very much a learning by doing and a learning by example, teaching by example. I think that's what we're trying to facilitate with our dance family. And I think that has created an atmosphere that I think permeates the festival. I think it's a very good opportunity for people to live the culture, not just learn about the culture. I think it's more that way. And I think with regards to gender roles, one thing that's very much been instilled by our elders is that there isn't really a gender role in the families, with particularly with our family. You know, there are in the Gitxsan culture, women can be chiefs, and it's a matrilineal society, so women have a very prominent role in the decision making and the process of the community. And so within our dance family, there isn't really a role for women or men. It's a very non-gendered approach to the dance practice.
I think that's very timely and very needed for people to look at that as a model for other communities, or just in the way we build the country. Oh, I so appreciate you spending time to talk with us and help us to have understanding. It sounds like there are so many, many, many things happening. Now I could feel a way of coming in, settling down, watching what's happening, maybe getting an instrument or something so I could participate in what's happening. But I want to thank you for spending time at such a busy time in your lives with us at the Suluau Show, S-U-L-U-A-U, a show where my guest and I speak up so that our audience could listen up and act upon what we've heard. And so what we want you to act upon now is coming to the festival on March and staying or doing something every day through the 9th. I'm Charlotte Farrell, and when people ask me what time it is, I say it's always love time, poem time.
Love time, poem time. Love time, poem time. Love time, poem time. Time for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time. Time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love. Wash the water.